the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 18. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's been another great week of True Blood.
Yep.
Or 2 weeks, actually. And I want to start off with some emails that we received after episode 3 that we didn't get to yet, of course, since we had recorded.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the recap today. So the first email was from Ivern.
Hey,
and she says, "Hello, sisters. I'm sitting here listening to the show. I have to go to the books for this answer." She's talking about taxes. And we mentioned, you know, before, how do things get taxed, you know, do the sheriffs get taxed, and does it roll up to the queen and king?
Mm-hmm.
She says, "I have to go to the books for this answer. Sorry, Sister J. In the books, there is nothing mentioned about taxes. This is strictly a True Blood storyline, not from the Sookie Stackhouse series. Eric has money, and so does the queen. Fantasia makes lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
It is probably because it is the only vampire bar in that area near Bon Temps, and it gets lots of tourists, and they sell a lot of vampire souvenirs. Also, I believe Eric has more business interests than just the bar. Also, Sister J, the queen has a very big entourage in the books. She doesn't go anywhere without them. I only say this because you mentioned that the king has a lot of people around him.
Yep.
She was always with bodyguards around. The queen lives in New Orleans, and she needs her bodyguards. She says, Sister J, I know you said you are not going to read the books, but they give you so much more insight into the characters. I just hope one day you will change your mind. Maybe after Big Brother is over. Okay, that is all I will say about the books for now. I love listening to different podcasts after the episodes are over. And as usual, you, Sister J, and Sister K are by far my favorites. Sister K, you make me laugh so much when you start laughing. You are infectious. Keep up the good work, ladies. I love your recaps, the long and the short. Ivern."
Oh, well, thank you, Ivern, for that email. And you know, no, I'm not going to read the books. And, you know, I might read the books like before season 4 begins. I might, but I probably won't because I do other stuff. But I think a very good point for everyone to keep in mind about when the queen's talking about the money, or King Russell's talking about taxes or money or anything, and that's because these people are old. They've had 500, 200, 100 years to accumulate wealth. So it stands to reason they would have a lot of wealth.
But they have, well, we'll talk about this more. Because we learn more information in this episode 4.
Yep.
But, you know, there's reasons why they're running out of money. Or the queen.
I do. Yes. And so, I do know that. So
even if they've lived for hundreds of years,
mm-hmm.
they haven't, you know, been
okay.
Okay, our next email was from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
And he says, "Hello, ladies. I discuss True Blood more with you than anyone I know. I say that in part as a compliment to your outstanding podcast, and in part because this is going to be an extra long email. I would imagine you will not have another review for a couple of weeks, so I wanted to keep the lines of communication open. Thanks for another excellent episode review. A couple of highlights of the funniest moments between the sisters. Sister J, I didn't get the head twisting part. Maybe Bill just didn't want to look at her, Lorena, anymore. Sister K, yeah, if somebody twisted your damn neck around, you would be bleeding too. Sister K, when Eric was blowing his horn and Lafayette came out of the house and he saw who it was, he said, oh, Lord, look at this motherfucker. Sister J, he went, oh, shit, this motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, shit, this motherfucker.
He says, okay, another one. Sister K, and when Jolie stood up, he was adjusting himself.
Oh.
Sister J, that nasty ass. I can't take this guy sitting around in his dingy underwear. Sister K, not only was it dingy, the shit was soggy.
Oh, man.
He says, hilarious, sisters. Please keep the humorous moments coming.
Well, you know what? Thank you for that email.
Well, he's not done.
Well, but I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
But, you
that
know.
That was funny. When I read
we do not do that, like, you know, to be
on
funny.
Purpose.
Yeah, I mean, we don't think that we're necessarily funny, although a lot of people tell us all the time, oh, you're so funny. You know.
I think we're funny, but we don't mean it at the time that
well,
it comes
yeah,
out.
I mean, we're serious when we're saying this.
That shit was nasty. I'm
that
sorry.
That was nasty.
Nasty. And they, droopy ass, I mean, droopy.
Looked anyway, like baby diaper. Mm-hmm.
So he goes on to say, the best line scenes from episode 3. Pam, did you call the theoretical hardware store and buy the theoretical chainsaw?
Yeah, I like that.
Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Lie back, sweetheart, and think of Estonia. Bud, I quit. I have had it with this shit. 43 years, and what have I got to show for it? I've got gaps in my brain and polyps in my ass. I don't need this horse shit. Yeah. I love that line,
that
too.
That was good.
I'll see. You be ready for more of that in Jackson? Sookie, they took someone I love from me. I don't know about you, but I was raised to fight. I'll see. Right. You'll get us both killed. Sookie, I'll pack light.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Well, she's saying, if we're going to be dead, I don't need to bring many clothes.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Okay.
And then his last best line of episode 3 was, Jessica, listen, buddy, I don't know what you have in mind, but you are messing with the wrong girl when she bares her fangs at Franklin. Franklin bares his fangs and enters the house, and Jessica says, vampires can't enter a house without a human invitation. Franklin, no, a human home, and the last human that owned this home died over a year ago. Jessica, fuck, how come nobody tells me any of this shit?
Well, I like that scene, but to me, the funniest part of that scene is when, after Franklin enters the house, Jessica doesn't say vampires. She says vampers. You have to notice that. She says vampers. Vampers can't enter the house. You know, and I was cracking up. I laughed so hard.
He goes on to say, Sister J, have you ever in your life had an eye-fluttering experience? Tara obviously had some good vampire nookie, and I suppose that is what happens.
Oh,
look how Eric was wearing Ivana the Dancer out in the basement at Fantasia.
Yvetta.
Sister K, I don't think I would have paid for Eggs' funeral either, considering getting cussed out and beaten down in my own home by Tara. But the writers needed to mend fences.
Yep.
They needed to get Tara back in Sookie's house. I just don't think the writers spent that much time considering Tara and Sookie did not have that moment of reconciliation, unless we are supposed to assume they did, or since they are such good friends, they don't need to apologize. The insightful comments made by Miss J Squared, I believe, about how Tara is not solely mourning Eggs' death is a significant point.
Yep.
Bravo. The indication for me that it was not just about Eggs was when Mike Spencer, the coroner, called her at work to inform her of the services of Mr. Tally.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even know his last name.
Yep.
So how well could she have really known him? At the same time, though, is it fair to comment that Tara in her mid-20s is not the only character who didn't have the love from her mama she might have wanted? Mm-hmm. Similar arguments can be made for Sam, Lafayette, Sookie, and Jason losing their parents at an early age. Everybody has problems. Magnifying Tara's issues and her inability to cope with them in yet another season makes it hard for me to sympathize with her character. The writers need to redeem her by season's end. I feel similar to Sister K in that I have had quite enough of this portrayal of Tara thus far. I am also done with her for now.
No, I'm not.
He goes on, this is episode 3, he says, I believe Franklin is working for Russell. Why? Mm-hmm. Franklin knew Bill was missing. Mm-hmm. We learned this when he visited Jessica. Mm-hmm. Also, why would Franklin feel so comfortable roaming around Bill's house if he was uncertain of Bill's whereabouts?
Mm-hmm.
By now, Franklin is wondering about Bill's file on Sookie. I don't think he knows anything else at this point.
Mm-mm.
I think Yvetta is a plant by the Magister. He says, did you get the play on words with the name of the bar Lupines? You mentioned it, but I overlooked it. Lupine is an adjective defined as pertaining to or resembling a wolf.
Yep.
Savage, ravenous, predatory.
Mm-hmm.
Your positions on whether or not Lorena was raped or if they engaged in rough play was interesting. I will have to side with Sister K on this one. I think if any of us lived as long as vampires live, they would possibly get quite inventive wherever they decide to do the deed. I think the twist in Lorena's neck is symbolic of the twisted, sordid relationship they have engaged in for the past 100 and some years. Remember last season's flashback when they killed those people and laid up in their home? Bill was made using twisted logic. Lorena told him that if he wanted to see his wife and kids again, he needed to drink from her. Then after she turned him, she told him it was impossible for him to reunite with them. That is why I believe he cannot fully embrace his vampire identity. I obviously couldn't wait to respond to your podcast. I had to get this stuff off my chest since we will receive another episode this weekend. I will probably send you another one before your opportunity to podcast, since I think you wait until the end of the week to post your review, which is so true. Everybody knows by now. Enjoy your week. As always, a Sister Speak fan, New Jersey boar, Myron.
Ooh, Myron, that's a long email.
That was long, but it was good.
Dang, you wrote us a book.
But you know what? He had some good
points.
But
you had some very good
that
points.
That twisted neck and the twisted...
Okay, let's go back to Tara. I'm not off of Tara yet, and I do not agree with your comments. I think the writers are portraying Tara perfectly for this particular season because, and I, excuse me, it's my personal opinion that I do believe she is mourning more than just eggs. That being said, but I didn't have an issue at all with the way she and Sookie reconciled at the funeral because she has been with Sookie since they were like 7 and 8 years old. You know, she has always been, they protected her. She practically lived there.
Yeah.
And I do not have a problem. You know, friends that are close and for that many years and starting at that young age, you do that.
Well.
And I would have paid for it too.
No.
Because Bill gave her all that extra money. Yeah.
Eric.
Eric.
I wish they would have had Tara go and apologize. I mean, Sookie could say, I feel bad that I might have caused or helped influence him to kill himself. But Tara didn't even say, thank you, or I'm sorry for knocking your ass. I mean, to me, that was just too much for me.
No, Sookie would not have expected her to because of their relationship.
Well, obviously not.
Because Sookie understood her grief. So yeah. I thought that was pretty good. But one thing that his really long email did remind me of, and that is, you know, Franklin, well, never mind.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Okay.
Okay, our next email was from Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
And she's from California, I think. She says, hello, I'm a new listener to your podcast, and I wanted to say your podcast is one of my favorite True Blood podcasts. I have to say, when Bill was about to play Twister with Lorena's head, I had to turn away when I realized what Bill was about to do. I only have HBO for 3 months free, and I probably won't get the entire season, so I'll have to wait for iTunes or the DVDs to see the rest. Mm. Also, I don't like the Mickens. I think there is something very wrong with Tommy, and I must not have noticed the part with his father having his hand on Tommy's leg.
Oh, yeah.
But I was glad they put some clothes on that man when they went to the Merlots. I also think that maybe Mama Mickens may not be so sweet and nice. It's mm-hmm. always the nice ones that turn out bad.
Mm-hmm.
I love the show. I will admit, when I first saw season one, there was a lot of blushing and cringing that I nearly turned it off. But I decided to discontinue. The story is what intrigued me the most. Bye for now, Danielle.
Thank you for that email, Danielle.
Thanks, Danielle.
And, you know, I feel that way, too, about the Mickens. There's something uneasy about Melinda, the mama.
Oh, yeah.
There's something uneasy because there's a reason why when she says firmly, do this or do this, Jolie and Tommy, they hop to it and
they
do
might
it.
Say something once, and then that's, but Tommy,
that's
Tommy actually don't never argue with her.
No,
he
don't
never
argue with
her. It's only Jolie that does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that was all the email we had from last week. So
okay.
Now I'm going to get into the recap of Nine Crimes. It's basically the name of it.
Okay.
Okay, so we start out the episode with Sookie tending to Alcide's cuts and scrapes from the fight at Lupin's. And Sookie's explaining that the werewolf he was fighting had V in his system, so he was stronger. Alcide tells her more about his ex-girlfriend, Debbie, and talks about how he's kind of been choked up since she left him, when Sookie gets a call from Bill. He tells her that he's left her and Bontemps for good, and he doesn't want her to keep looking for him or think that anything else is going on besides the fact that he left her. She says that she doesn't believe him, and he tells her that he was just having sex, actually he said making love with Lorena, and that her life has been nothing but pain and suffering since they met, so it's just going to be better off if they stay apart. Lorena pipes up in the background, which I would have been pissed off. Sookie cries and tells him she doesn't believe him again, and Bill says he doesn't care because she's of no concern of him anymore, and tells her to quit looking for him and hangs up.
It was a cold-blooded scene.
Yeah, it was
scene.
Like, click, click.
Cold-blooded.
Sookie asks, she's crying, of course, and she asks Alcide what Bill meant by he didn't want to be found. Alcide tells her, and he looks irritated when he's telling her, that no matter how well you think you know somebody, you don't. And she needs to just get in her mind he's done. Sookie cries, and Alcide tries to comfort her, And when he does, she notices how warm his body is. And he tells her it's just a wear thing that they run hot. And when he said that, I was like, yes, you do, baby. Yes, you do.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
How you doing?
No, Lord, no, not that woman.
Sookie tells him she doesn't want to be alone. And he looks uncomfortable. And she kind of looks uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, let me go get a shirt. We next see Sam chasing the hawk, Tommy, out of Merlot's and chasing him in the woods. He comes past this parking lot and sees the Mickens van parked there and bangs on the door and tells Melinda that they can't be staying on his parking lot like that. She tells him that they have nowhere else to go because their landlord was foreclosed on. They were kind of behind on their rent anyway. Sam is kind of upset, thinking that they used him for food and to kind of set him up so they can rob him. And she's like, well, look, as soon as Tommy gets back, we'll leave. We promise. So Sam's like, okay, fine. We see Franklin and Tara in Sookie's house asking her questions about Bill and Sookie. But he's really focusing questions on Sookie and wants to know where in Mississippi she is. He has Tara call Sookie, and the really freaky scene is he's kind of feeding her what to say. So as she's saying it, he's mouthing it too, which is weird. We haven't seen that yet.
Mm-hmm. She glamored her though.
Yeah, she's glamored. She keeps insisting that Sookie tell her where she is so that she can come and comfort her. But Sookie tells her she doesn't want her caught up in the drama and for her just to stay home and rest and kind of get through what she's just been through. So Sookie hangs up the phone after she tells Tara she'll call her later. And Franklin looks mad. While he's distracted, Tara runs to the front door, but of course he's got the vampire speed and catches up with her and then chomps her on the neck and she's screaming. Mm-hmm. We get back to Lorena and Bill, and Lorena is kind of adjusting her neck and tells Bill that this is the best sex she's ever had, or that she's had in decades, and that she felt true passion between them. See, y'all? Okay, we'll talk about that later. Bill tells her that wasn't passion for her, but passion that he was killing, that he had for Sookie. Mm-hmm. And tells her to get out of his room. Lorena's laughing and kind of says, well, you know that you're with me and that I know you're going to love me again, even if it takes you 40 or 50 more years. Bill gets up off the bed, punches her dead in her face, when she flies back out the door of the room into the hallway. He walks to the door and she's looking like, oh, hey, come on, baby. When he slams the door on her and kind of burns himself on the iron door.
It's silver.
Silver, that's right. Mm-hmm. We next see Eric floating next to Sookie's window and waiting for her to let him in. He asks her how her search is going, and she tells him that Bill isn't the one she was looking for. She tells Eric that he smells like the ocean in winter, and she starts getting real close to him, and he's looking at her like, ooh, come on. And he's asking her, how does she know that, or how is she able to smell that? And she says, well, it seems to me that you played by the North Sea as a child. He looks amazed that she knows this, and she tells him that she's smelling his memories. He tells her that even she can't do that, and she pushes him back on the bed and tells him that she has skills he's never seen. She whips off her robe and her bra and panties and climbs on top of him in her underwear and asks him if he wants more. He's like, what? She asks him again, and her voice ends up being Yvetta's. He looks up, and then he realizes that he's in Fantasia, and Yvetta is stripper dancing, pole dancing, and he tells her just to leave because it ain't Sookie.
So it was a dream.
It was a dream. And he gets up to leave the bar, and Pam's looking after him, kind of concerned. We see, I'll see the next morning cooking breakfast, the big-ass steak, when Sookie comes into the kitchen. He's asking her when she wants to go back to Bon Tom, and she says, I'm not going back. I'm still looking for Bill, and I'm going to find him. And he says, you're just asking for more. And she says, no, I'm not a doormat. I'm not asking for more. I want him to tell me to my face that he's breaking up with me. She says she thinks he's in trouble, and she wants to still help him and find out what's going on. Alcee tells her to let it go, and Sookie tells him that she wants him to take her to the engagement party so she can get more information. Alcee gets mad and tells her no, and if she wants to go, she can, but he ain't going. The next thing we say, ring, ring, hook a ring, ring. Lafayette.
Lafayette.
He is calling Tara on his cell phone from his brand new car. And he's telling Tara that he got a new car. He's going to give her his old one and that she needs to call him back. We see a phone vibrating on a counter and we look up and we see Tara is gagged and tied to a toilet. Mm-hmm. Almost naked, but not quite. Mm-hmm. Trying to reach for the phone on the sink. Of course, as the phone's vibrating and ringing, it falls down into the sink and then, of course, she can't reach it. We next see Janice, Alcide's sister, arriving at Alcide's apartment, and she's there to help Sookie get ready to go to Lupine's that night. She's real happy to meet Sookie, and she thinks that Sookie and Alcide have something going, and she loves that because it'll get Alcide over Debbie. Pelt. Sookie tells her they're just friends and they're working together, and that she wants to go to the engagement party that night. Well, Janice starts thinking about the engagement party and says, yeah, right. It's really an initiation into the pack, and that Debbie's hooked on V. So Sookie starts listening into her thoughts to find all this out. Debbie just keeps talking on and on about how happy she is that, or not Debbie, Janice, mm-hmm. keeps talking on and on about how happy she is that Alcide and Debbie are no longer together because she had a psychic telling her that Debbie would be the death of Alcide, so she's happy that he's away from her. We go back to Merlot's, and it's packed, and we see Arlene running around crazy. She looks like she's the only waitress there. Bud's having a retirement party, and during the party, he announces that Andy's the new sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that look Kenya gave him?
Yep, mm-hmm. I did. A rowdy bunch of teenagers irritates Jason, especially when he finds out one of the boys in the group is a star quarterback about to beat his record, high school record. He confronts the boy, his name was Kitch, and tells him off, and really kind of was like a throwaway scene, but
yeah.
To me. We next see Kenya at the bar drinking a shot and complaining about the only way to get a promotion in that town is to drink like a fish, hallucinate farm animals, and shoot a black man in the head. And after she downs her shot, she looks over at Annie and goes, pig! I love it.
I know.
It was so good. Arlene, at this point, is walking up to the bar with a tray of drinks and drops them, falls down and drops them. She's all frazzled and tells Sam that she can't do it all, be a waitress, busboy, bartender, everything, and that he needs to start looking out for his own. Sam tells her that he's going to get her some help, and she just walks off. And he looks at her like he's kind of confused. Alcide comes back to the apartment that evening yelling for Sookie, and the way he says Sookie kind of reminded me of Bill, the way he said Sookie.
A little bit.
So he rounds the corner and sees that she's all decked out in a black bob wig and leather, looking kind of cute. With some fake tattoos on. She tells him that Debbie is getting initiated into the pack and is hooked on V. Mm-hmm. Alcide says, shut the fucking door. And ask how she knows. Instead of saying, shut the front door, which they're supposed to say, he said, shut the fucking door. And he asks her how she knows, and she tells him that she was listening to a sister's thoughts and asks him to go with her again, since it's obvious he still cares for Debbie, and this would be his chance to help get her, maybe redeem her, get her out of that situation. He's mad, but he tells her he'll go, but they'll have to go separately so that there won't be any fighting. We see King Russell and Bill in, like, the parlor. And King Russell is asking Bill how long he's worked for Sophie Ann and what he did for her. Bill tells him he's worked for her for 35 years, which is mm-hmm. a revelation to us.
Uh-huh.
And that he was a procurer. Mm-hmm. He also tells the king that he was on sabbatical when he ended up going to Bon Temps. And the king looks at him and says, quit playing coy. You must doubt my power. Mm-hmm. I love the way he talks.
I love the king.
Bill kind of looks at the king and tells him that he wants to make sure that he gets something in return for the information he's going to share, because it's going to be his life for sharing it. He wants Lorena gone when he's done with his tasks with the king. And the king says, gone. He says, gone. And so the king The king nods and tells Bill, and nods at Bill, really doesn't say nothing. Mm-hmm. And Bill tells him that Eric is selling V, he thinks, on the behalf of the queen, and that she's losing her fortune now that the IRS is taxing vampires. Mm-hmm. The king really likes this information and gets excited and says that he feels like celebrating. So, we see Franklin returning
he's not returning. He gets up. Because during the daytime, he got to go somewhere.
Right, but Franklin comes back into the hotel room. He wasn't in the room.
Okay.
No. I'm sure he went out and buried himself in the dirt. Because you hear the door close.
Okay.
And he had a bouquet. He wouldn't have got, you know. So Franklin comes back to their hotel room where Tara is tied up in the bathroom, half fallen asleep, still tied up and gagged, and tells her that he really missed her. She's looking at him all crazy, and he says, "Did you miss me?" And she's like, yeah. She nods her head. So while he's asking her all this, he has a bouquet of flowers that he's duct taping to her bound wrist, like you would do your Barbie doll or something.
Yeah. Mm.
He tears the tape off her mouth and tells her that he can't stop thinking about her. He licks her lips, which was nasty, and tells her that he is so excited because they have so much ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And she's looking at him like he is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
We next see Sam at Merlot showing Jessica around and telling her that she'll be the hostess and won't be able to waitress since she has to be 18 to serve drinks. And she's kind of upset by this because she said she'll never be 18. Arlene is upset that Jessica is not going to help her workload any and tells Sam that she is definitely not getting any of her tips. And Arlene's also kind of jealous because she's not the only one with red hair anymore in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
She almost slips up and tells Sam that she's pregnant, but she stops and says that she just doesn't want Sam to have people take care of him. She doesn't want Sam to have people take advantage of him, especially since he's always bringing in strays, his parents, Jessica, and some of the other people in seasons past.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her that his parents aren't going to be coming back anymore. And at this point, they are at the pickup window, and Terry jumps in and says, "Well, do they know that? Because they're grilling out in the parking lot." It was so funny.
It was funny.
So Sam runs out outside, and Terry tells Arlene, "We're never going to be bad parents like that."
Mm-mm.
And Arlene just looks crazy. We see Jessica going back to her little hostess station, and she bumps into this boy who turns out to be a guy she knew from Bible study named Chip. He is all excited that he's seen her and tells her her parents are going to be so excited, and she's looking all uncomfortable. Hoyt arrives at Merlot's and sees Jessica outside with the boy from Bible study, Chip, and sees that they're talking real close together. He can't hear what they're talking about, but he walks away looking kind of hurt and disappointed and angry all at the same time. Basically, though, Jessica is glamoring Chip to tell him that he's never stopped in Bon Temps, he never saw her, and he went straight home from wherever he was going.
Mm-hmm.
We see Lafayette in Hot Shot trying to sell V to Calvin Hobbs, the guy we saw last week, or the week before, when Jason tackled that guy out of his house. Calvin tells Lafayette that he doesn't do business with people like Lafayette and tells him to leave. Lafayette's trying to say, people like who? At this point, they hear somebody kind of messing with the new car. And so Lafayette runs back out to the car and tells him to stop. Of course, they start beating him up. And as they're beating him up, Eric flies in and grabs Calvin by the throat and lifts him up over his head. And you know Eric is tall.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Calvin to take the deal, and Calvin says he'll have to kill him first. And Eric tells him that he'll kill all of his brother cousins first.
I love that.
And so Calvin might want to take the deal. Calvin agrees to take the V, and so Eric lets him go and says, "Let's go, RuPaul, to Lafayette." And they get in the car and go. As they're driving down the highway, Lafayette's driving, and Eric tells Lafayette that he's disappointed in how he's handled his business and that he needs to adapt to his customers and leave the ego behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not being a good salesman unless you can do that. Eric gets a phone call from Pam and tells them that they're being raided by the magister. Fantasia is being raided.
Mm-hmm.
Eric tells her that he's going to come there, and she tells him to stay away and leave town because he doesn't need to get caught up in all that. She's down in the dungeon talking to him and tells him that the queen set them up because they know they're looking for V. The magister finds her in the dungeon, so she hangs the phone real quick, and he tells her that she's committed blasphemy and shows her this big, not really big, but this cooler full of V, vials of V. He tells one of his henchmen to take her, and Pam looks scared. Back at the car, Eric is looking worried, scared, mad all at the same time. He lowers the window while Lafayette's talking to him, telling him that he can do the V, he can move the V, and he can be a good salesperson, when Eric just flies out the window. And we see Lafayette kind of looking out the windshield trying to see him. We next see Franklin and Tara driving down the highway with Tara still tied up in the front seat, but she don't have her gag on anymore. She asks him what he wants with Bill and Sookie, and he says nothing. He doesn't really want anything with him, but that his employer is interested in Bill, mostly. He tells Tara that he misses good fruit when he sees a sign advertising fruit on the side of the road. Tara keeps asking him where he's taking her, and he says that he's trying to make pleasant conversation, and she's just trying to ruin the surprise he's got for her. She's mad, tells him nothing ain't nothing pleasant about being bound up and bit. And he just kind of laughs it off and tells her that she's tough and that he could taste it in her blood. So that kind of shuts her up. He tells her that he's been lonely, but now that she's his, all that has changed. And she's looking at him crazy again. Back at, in Bon Temp, we see Sam walking in the woods with some clothes, and he finds Tommy, who shifted back to his human form, and hands Tommy the clothes. He tells Tommy that he understands why Tommy's mad at him and tries to explain to Tommy that he's been on his own for so long and had no one to show him the way, and that's the reason why he was looking for his family. He tells Tommy that Tommy's young and can choose a different path, and he doesn't want to have to go down the path that Sam chose. He invites Tommy to stay with him and tells him that he can set him up at the bar. Tommy interrupts him and tells him that he can't ever leave his family because they won't survive without him, and that he can't have that on his conscious. He can't live with that, and that he's stuck with them until they die. So we see Sam bringing Tommy back through the clearing in the woods to the Mickens van where they're cooking out hot dogs, and tells them that he's gonna help all of them and set them up and help get them on their feet if they all agree to no more stealing and no more drinking. So they all agree. And that's the last we see of them for that episode. Back at Merlot's, Jason's waiting on Andy, and they go into the bathroom and tells Andy that he wants to be a cop. Andy tells him, well, good, you know, apply yourself and sign up and see what, and you can do anything you put your mind to. And Jason says, no, you're going to make me a cop now because I don't want to do all that work and take all them tests. And he tells Andy, you know, he would hate for it to get out that they lied about eggs and all that stuff. And he kind of justifies to Andy that he's already the best cop that Andy's got on the force because of all that he's done the past few weeks. By killing a serial killer, taking down the drug dealer, and all that. Franklin arrives at, we now see, is King's house. And when Talbot sees him and Tara enter the foyer, he says, oh, no, you can't come in here. And Franklin tells him that the king's waiting for, is expecting him. And Talbot says, well, the king's out, and he's going to be a while, and looks at him like he wants him to leave. And Franklin says, oh, I'll wait. And he goes and sits in this chair. So Talbot goes up to Tara and looks at her like she's his snack and says, oh, is this mine? And kind of walks around her. But when he gets around her, he wrinkles up his nose and says, it's skinny. And walks off. And Tara's looking at Franklin like, what the hell?
Oh, she's looking
scared.
Scared.
We next see Sookie and Alcide at Lupine's. And Sookie is going up to the bar by herself. Gus, or Don Swayze, grabs her by the arm and says, "Don't you look familiar. Do I know you?" And offers her several shots. So to kind of distract him, she goes ahead and takes the shots. She just finishes drinking the third shot when Debbie walks up to her and asks her who she is. Alcide comes up and tells Debbie that Sookie's with him. And Debbie looks surprised and tells Alcide that she's never been happy in her whole life and she doesn't want to be back in his pack. Mm-hmm. Sookie tries to explain to Debbie that Alcide cares for her and wants her to go back to being herself, even if he can't be with her, and that he loves her that much. Debbie looks like she's touched by all this when Coot walks up and intervenes. Mm-hmm. He tells Alcide to get out of there because Debbie was now with him. Debbie tells him to let Alcide stay so that he can see that she's really with Coot, and that'll make him leave them alone once and for all. Sookie sees Coot's thoughts and realizes that he's one of the wares that took Bill. And she tells Alcide this later. We next see the King, Lorena, and Bill in a limo driving up in front of a strip club. The King tells Bill to go procure and asks Lorena what she's in the mood for. Lorena says that she's in the mood for someone smoky but not too fatty. And the King says he wants somebody ethnic. Mm-hmm. Bill looks real reluctant, but he gets out of the car and goes into the strip bar. The King then tells Lorena that he's got an errand to run or to attend to, and if he doesn't get back in time, to go ahead and start dinner without him. Bill, in the bar, is looking around, and he sees a dancer who's kind of dancing with this, like, blank look in her face, eyes. So he watches her and asks her for obviously arranges a private dance with her. She's naked and takes off her bra, and he's looking all uncomfortable and asks her name. He glamours her to find out her real name is Anne and that she's got no family, friends, nothing in her life. And she's telling him that she doesn't believe in love and that life is a hell that she will never get out of alive. And he says, yeah, none of us do. So the next scene we see the Magister in the dungeon with Pam strung up in that little merry-go-round thing that they had Lafayette strung up in last season. And he's torturing Pam and she's screaming. Eric arrives and tells them to let her go and that he's the one that they're looking for. He tells them that he's been framed and that the blood being sold was not on his orders. Mm-hmm. The Magister tortures Pam more with his little stick, his walking stick, and says, well, so what you trying to say, that this was happening in your territory or that your queen was having you do it? Both. Any way you slice it, those are punishable offenses. So he's still torturing Pam, and she screams out that it was Bill Compton who was behind it all. Eric quickly agrees and tells the Magister that he was trying to gather evidence to support all this and to let him get back to work doing it. The Magister says, okay, you have 2 days, or Pam, his child, will die a true death. Eric and Pam kind of look at each other. He's looking all scared and evil, and he flies off. We get back to Lupine's, and the crowd is carrying Debbie to the stage where the King, Russell Edgington, comes in and starts the ceremony by telling them all in German that they're going to have a drink of the dark wine of their ancestors. He bites into his wrist and pours his blood into all these little shot glasses. Mm-hmm. The crowd is all excited, and they all take a glass, except for Debbie. He tells her she can't have any because it'll break up her brand. He continues the ceremony and welcomes the expansion of the pack and leaves them all to celebrate. At this point, the crowd goes wild because they've had the V, and they brand Debbie with the Operation Werewolf symbol. And then the crowd starts to shift. All the people start shifting. Alcide starts shaking and looking all crazy. And Sookie's asking him, what's going on? What's happening? What's everybody doing? And Alcide turns around with these red eyes and says, get out, run, run. Sookie looks scared, starts to run. We switch back to the scene with Bill taking Anne, the dancer, stripper, to the limousine when obviously he feels Sookie's fear. Mm-hmm. He turns around, looks all worried, like, shit, how am I going to get to her? Knowing he can't, he's got to turn around and follow Anne into the limo with Russell, who's back, and Lorena. The King and Lorena both look pleased by his selection, and the King tells Lorena, ladies first. So Lorena takes a big old bite of her neck, and of course she ain't gentle. Mm-hmm. Anne screams, and then the King joins in and starts biting her. Bill is looking kind of disgusted, but the King tells him to join him, so he kind of has no choice, and then he starts to eat. all this time, the dancer is screaming, looking dazed, and blood's dripping down out of the limo, and that's the end of the episode.
Woo-hoo. That's a good episode, though.
Good episode. Very good episode.
It had some serious tones and some funny stuff, you know, too.
Yes, but in this episode, back to the emails that we were talking about last week and today, we get information about, okay, so the queen is broke or getting broke because IRS is taxing them now.
Yeah.
The vampires were all hidden in secret before, but now that they're out, IRS is like, oh, we gonna get some of y'all money. And so now she can't keep up with that, losing her fortune. So it kind of makes sense as to why she's selling the V.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, I still feel like there's other ways she could have gotten money.
Yeah. I think she, I don't know where I get this impression, and I can't remember if there was something said in those scenes when Bill first went to her and they play on Yahtzee and all that stuff, but I thought she gambled also. I mean, she liked to gamble also, you know, and I think she sells the V for the joy of it, for the fun of it.
Thrill.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The thrill of it because of the comment she made about, you know, you can't keep doing everything strictly by the book and by the law, you know, for hundreds of years. Because, you know, that's too boring.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's her deal, too. The money's probably a side issue, but she does need the money. Let's talk about Tara.
Ugh.
I feel so bad for Tara.
I do too.
I like Franklin though. He's a good villain. Oh yeah, I like Franklin though. He's an excellent villain. Yeah.
Stay.
Well, now it was nasty, but let me tell you what. This is my personal feeling. When I saw the scene, of course, the scene where he has tied her up because, you know, he's got to go to ground, so he don't want her to get away, and he's tied her to the toilet. That's real disturbing to me. And then when he comes back and he duct tapes those flowers in her hand, and then he rips that tape off her mouth, she looked like she want to slap him, too. And you know, is licking her lips.
Ugh.
All that is bad, but... You know, when he was driving her in the car...
He was so happy.
I felt sorry for him.
You do kind of feel sorry for
him. I felt sorry for her, too, but I felt sorry for him when he was telling her. He says, you know, my work life and everything is just, you know, it's always been real good, real great, but, you know, my emotional life is, you know...
Lonely.
Yeah, not so good. You know, I'm lonely and stuff. And I thought, you know, bless his little heart, but I like him as the character, though, because for a villain, he is very well drawn, I think. Because they are making it so you like him, but you hate him, but you like him, you know. At least I do anyway, so.
Kinda.
I like him. And I just simply love Talbot's reaction when they come walking in the mansion.
Talbot's like, I don't want to deal with this fool.
He is stomping down that for you. Oh, no, you ain't coming in here.
Yeah. So we know he don't like him.
Yeah, he don't like Franklin. But we got to have to get some backstory as to why.
I know.
You know, see.
And then when Talbot is looking at Tara, he's like, she's too skinny. No, he says it.
He said, it's too skinny.
And he wrinkled up his little nose.
And left. And, you know, Tara's looking terrified, and she's looking around at Franklin. And I thought it was hilarious. He's just sitting there.
Winking at her.
Yeah, just winking at her like, yeah.
Whatever.
Don't worry about it. You know. But I like Franklin, but I felt sorry for him at that little ride because you do realize, well, he's serious. He really does like her.
Well, we kind of talked about that last week that, you know, before he knew that she knew Sookie and Bill,
everything.
He was trying to get to know her.
Yeah.
He gets excited, I think, by violence also because, you know, we were talking about Lorena and Bill and their little scene with the twisted neck. And he seems like he was excited when she was beating up them rednecks and everything. And he was thinking, this is my kind of girl.
Now, this is what I want to point out. When we begin this episode, we go back to the scene where he first entered the house, Sookie's house, and you know, glamored Tara. And I thought it was very interesting that he did not know Sookie was a telepath until Tara told him. Did you see his expression? He did not know that.
I think he did know that. His expression was not surprised to me.
Oh, it was to me.
No, not to me. Hmm. Because he just flowed with it when she says she likes Bill because she can't hear his thoughts. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's nice to a telepath. He did not seem surprised to me.
Because
he's already got all the research. But he, you know, he wants to know, well, is her brother one too? I mean, he was wanting to know more information. To me. He didn't seem surprised to me.
He seemed surprised to me. His facial expression changed to me.
What I want to know is, why does he want to know where she's at? I mean, if he's really not concerned.
Because Russell gave him that task.
Right.
Because he has not been back to the mansion. He does not know that King Russell has already told Lorena, oh, well, we don't need the girl then. Let her go.
Right.
So he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So he's going on about his job that he was ordered to do. So... And speaking of the king, though, you know, I like this episode because I like the king so much and that genteel character and stuff, but you see how vicious he is.
Yes.
How vicious he is. I love that, though. Because, you know, people are all kind of beings, but they're complicated. They're not just one thing,
right.
You know. But I love that scene, though. But what I love the most is... When he came on that stage, and, you know, them fools in Lupines, they rowdy. But when he came out on that stage and they noticed it was him, and he put his hands up like that, they all, like, went like this.
They bowed.
Yeah, they all up. Oh, that was great.
Because he controls them.
I know. Well, I know that, but still.
Because they're all addicted to the blood.
Oh, and it was hilarious. I mean, it was not meant to be a funny scene. At Lupine's, when he is talking to them in the German and spilling out his blood in them shot glasses. But I was laughing because you hear that religious music?
No.
It was like Ave Maria or something, you know? Just like you would hear in a Catholic church or any church right before they giving you the blood and the...
communion or something.
Yeah, the blood and the body, you know, the little communion, because that's what it's supposed to
be. Well, to them, I guess it was, because it was a ceremony, like, to baptize her
exactly.
into their group, you know.
But I was just cracking up all this, like, religious church-type music. I was just dying. I said, oh, my goodness, this is just too much.
Well, back at the, you know, I really like the king also, and I love the way he talks, and he always is trying to get Bill to tell him something, and Bill's always trying to play something off.
Bill is looking sneaky and crafty, though, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
And he's always giving them looks like...
Well, he's trying to throw off the king.
Yeah.
But he can't.
Mm-mm.
And then he gives these little looks like he's looking shifty. You know? And so he's like, oh, well, you know, I was on sabbatical when I went to Bontal.
Yeah,
and the king's like,
quit playing.
Come on, we got past this last time.
Yeah, quit playing.
Know?
I know you
And
were,
so Bill's just looking at
there.
Him like, oh, shit, what else can I say?
Exactly,
you know?
See? Oh, that was a good scene.
I love that scene, too.
Yeah.
But the very first scene, when Bill calls Sookie.
Oh, man.
And they're on the phone, and he's telling her, he knew exactly what to tell her to get her. And she starts crying. Ooh, I was tearing up.
I know. I felt so sorry for Sookie.
I was almost crying too.
At Bill.
I was too.
I was so mad at Bill.
Just like a sneaky fucking man. Bitch man. Excuse me, all the guys that are listening. But some of y'all are punk bitches.
Okay, Sister Kate. Calm down.
It's so true. Now, I know why he's doing it. He's doing it to protect her and so that she doesn't get caught up in the shit.
Right.
But it's just like a punk-ass man to do that shit over the phone. And then to sleep with some chick to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not instead of just saying, look, I don't want you no more. I mean, we know it's a lie.
I'm
kind of embellishing it. But
right.
I was like, no, this fool didn't. But, I mean, her reaction to it, I was just like...
Oh. It was perfect.
It was perfect. She's
perfect.
Like, Bill, like, how could you be saying this to me, Bill? I don't believe you.
But I loved it when Lorena was doing all that gloating. Like,
she's like,
I know you're going to love me again. He looked like he could kill her right then.
He could.
He wanted to. He looked at her. He walked up on that girl and he went, pow!
That scene startled me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't seeing that.
Oh,
I,
Bill was mad, though.
He was pissed. He punched her and she landed on the wall and she looked at him like, ooh, come on. That right there proved that the sex scene was about... She liked it. It wasn't rape.
Yeah.
She likes it that way.
You're right. Yep.
And that's how they obviously used to do it back in the day.
I noticed that too. When she did that little smile, when she did that smile,
and he was walking towards her to shut the door, but she didn't know he was going to shut the door. She was looking at him like, oh, yeah, let's come on. Let's go for round two. And I was like, see that chick?
Ooh.
She liked that shit.
Lorraine
and when she was cracking her neck, said, ooh. And then when he was like, yeah, well, whatever, I'm glad you enjoyed it. She's like, we have, you cannot deny that we had passion. She was all upset.
But I loved it when Bill said to the king, what you gonna do for me?
Ooh, yes.
What you want? I want Lorena gone. But the king says, well, now you know that's a punishable offense. And he said, what did he say?
Not if you don't report it.
Yeah. Ooh, scandalous.
And the king, I think the king is like fine because I don't really like her anyhow.
Yeah, because he thinks she's primitive.
Did you notice when, okay, so they go to that bar to pick up the stripper to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the king, and Bill gets out to get her. And the king says, you know what, I have some errands to run, I'm going to go. But
did you see the look on her face?
Well, at first I thought, oh, they're going to do it this quick? They're going to get her off this quick? But no, it wasn't that. But when he left, the look on her face was like, I'm no longer... I mean, she didn't have... It's like she hates being by herself, is what the lick that I thought.
Yeah.
And she was no longer surrounded by men, even if she didn't want the king or whatever.
Right.
But she was alone.
Yeah.
And that's the look... It looked like she was scared, she angry, did. Lonely, all at the same time.
She did, because she was in that limo, and she had to wait in that limo
by
alone.
By herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm not important enough for y'all to... stay with me or something.
That stripper bar scene, that was good though, because I tell you, the actor playing Bill though, he's doing an excellent
Stephen
job.
Stephen Moyer.
He's doing, because he was just creeping up on him. You know
stalking.
What I mean? Yeah.
Stalking.
Yeah, and he was just creeping through that club,
yep.
looking, you know. But he wasn't obvious with him. He was, you know, looking around.
And the thing I like about him and the way he's acting or how he acts the part is all those little side looks that he does.
Oh, he's
good.
That
makes you know, okay, this is my nature now, but I don't like doing it. This is my nature now, and I have to do it. I don't want to hurt this girl, but I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
And then when they were doing their little one-on-one dance and she got naked, he looked all uncomfortable. He didn't, because he's back in the, you know, he's back in the old days where modesty and all that. He didn't even want to see the chick naked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I loved all the little looks and the side things that weren't verbal and the way that he was doing that role. And it was just great.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
It was really, really good. Mm-hmm. So now we know that the vampire eating werewolves have been around for ages. That's what he said. Ages. And that's what Eric was trying to tell Sookie about that particular pack of vampires.
Yeah.
Werewolves.
And as we know from Talbot last week with the rug, they have been together at least since the 1300s.
1387.
And Eric has said that this pack dates back to way before World War I.
Right.
Two or
way
whatever.
Before the Nazis and stuff.
So is this the actual leader that he's been looking for? And that witch, or not witch, but the werewolf woman that they stabbed said he's one of you.
Yeah. I think he is
King Russell the actual leader or creator of all these?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and when he came out on the stage and he started speaking that German, that's immediately what popped in my mind. Yeah. I thought, ooh, Eric gonna get him, because that's the one he was looking for, him and Godry, way back, you know, in that flashback.
Maybe Eric gonna get him, because you know what? Even though Eric is old as shit too. Mm-hmm. He ain't trying to go against the Magister.
No. That's true.
And that's what I want them to get more into, because, okay.
I think they are, by that postmortem that was shown. Did you watch the postmortem?
Yes, but still. Okay, so you have the hierarchy. You have kings and queens, and then you have the sheriffs and of the states and all that. Mm-hmm. But still, I think what they're saying is that depending on how old you are is how strong you are. But apparently, the vampires don't try to overthrow their leader, even if the leader's younger than them.
Well.
So, like we were talking about, we think Sophie Ann is actually younger than Eric.
Yes.
So, Eric should technically be stronger than her, but he still isn't trying to
go
above her.
Well, okay. There is a longer postmortem on HBO that you can view, and it's like six, seven minute clip. And the little guy who a vampire from, I think it's Bulgaria, who supposedly is seeking asylum here in the United States, he is going through and talking about the authority.
Yeah.
And that is the supreme top group. That's even who the magister reports to. The top group. And, you know, the vampires, in order to, and he's given some other information, in order for them to survive, you know, this is what they do. You know, they've all agreed to adhere to this hierarchy, mm-hmm. and stuff. So that's why Eric doesn't go against his queen. Not unless, I think he might do it for self-preservation, though.
But even then, he didn't throw her under the bus. Because,
no, he didn't.
Like the magister said.
That is true.
He said, didn't. Oh, so you're trying to say it was your queen that commanded you to do this? Mm-hmm. Or that this was happening in your... Are you going to... what do you say? Are you going to claim that it was your leadership? Or that it was your lack of knowing that it was happening in your area? Either one is a punishable offense, or right. whatever.
And the magister was trying to tell him, I don't care who it was. It was in your area, yeah. coming out your club, and we found it in your club.
Either way, mm-hmm. you're going to get punished.
Yeah, Eric in trouble.
Yeah. And then Pam
I hated that scene.
I was almost tearing up on that one, too.
I'm getting mad at the magister for that now. But I like the magister, his character and his authority and stuff, but they don't have to torture her.
She was looking scared.
Oh, she was looking so scared, and she's hollering and stuff. And then when he says, and then when he starts that, you know, I hear it's really tough to lose a child. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, she ain't gonna stick her. You know.
Eric was looking like...
Eric looked like he wanted to cry.
He did.
That was a good scene, though. I didn't want them hurting Pam. No. But see, she was trying to tell Eric, you know, there's more than just you.
But I love how this scene showed how close they are, even though they've been arguing. They don't have a ton of scenes together. Mm-hmm. But I like that it showed how much he... care that he wasn't gonna just run. He was go there and try mm-hmm. to save her.
And I like the fact that when she called him, they're speaking in that little Viking speak that they, or Swedish or whatever it was, that they talk, you know. And Lafayette had me cracking up. He says, well, you know, even though I can't talk in whatever that is, y'all talk. You know, he
said, I'm still gonna sell this beef for you.
But let's talk about Lafayette.
Ring, ring, hook a ring, ring.
When he was leaving that voicemail for Tara, I was dying.
Ring, ring, hook a ring. I'm gonna get that on a t-shirt.
But you know, it's just his facial expression. Oh, wait a minute. There are like three people. Well, there's several people in the office I work at that, you know, that watch True Blood. But at least three of them, they say all day long, a hooker. Hooker, I'm going to lunch. You know, or hooker, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to lunch.
Oh, man, it's funny. It's funny.
I love that.
Oh, I just love Lafayette. And, you know, when that trashy fool was saying, I don't be dealing with people like you, the first thing in my mind, and I think I said, like, out loud to the TV, I said, oh, shit, here we go. Because, you know, Lafayette. He can fight
against all them people.
Yeah, all
he
them
just
people.
Forgot where the hell he was at. He was feeling too good.
Yeah.
And too cocky. Like Eric said, your ego got in the way. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
Yeah. So Eric had to save him.
Save his
ass. But did you see that little smile he had on his face when Eric said, come on, RuPaul?
That was good. That was funny.
That was so good. That was good.
Oh, and then we didn't mention the scene with Eric hallucinating about Sookie.
Yeah. And you know, you don't know he's hallucinating until you hear that Yvetta's voice.
Well, you kind of know because...
I didn't know.
Well, you kind of know because she was too... She was like, cheese and rice. She scared me. It was just too sweetness and light.
Well, yeah,
she doesn't say that kind of... And then when he says, well, how's your search going? She's like, well, he wasn't what I'm looking for. And she kind of went up to him. I was like, yeah, okay, this cannot be real.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
But yeah, that scene was pretty cute. And his facial expressions, too.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Were good.
That was good. Okay,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about poor, dumb little Jason. Oh, my goodness. What are they going to do with Jason? I guess they're going to make him a cop.
Yep, but he's going to sneak around and do it by blackmailing Andy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I like that, though.
I don't like that either. Mm-mm. But it's kind of true to his character because he's always trying to get over
the easy way.
Yeah, his easy way out, mm-hmm. using his looks and his rapport with people to get what he wants.
That doesn't
want to put in the work.
That is true.
So I just don't know how that's going to work out, though.
And I wonder what they're going to do with Kenya then. She was cracking me up.
And I like that they had her in regular clothes, with her hair down.
Yeah.
And
dressed like a regular woman. Yeah. She looked real cute,
too. I think she's just going to end up being like this sullen
deputy
co-worker.
Yeah.
She's going to be pissed off that he got it and she didn't.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. But that scene cracked me up. She was talking about pig.
Pig.
Pig. Oh, that was hilarious. That was hilarious. So we got to talk about all seed.
Woo. Okay. Woo. Yeah, well, you go right ahead. I mean, you know, I like the actor and everything, but he don't do it for me, so.
You know, I wasn't feeling it until this week for some reason. I don't know why. But I liked the scenes with him and Sookie in it.
He was very good.
Yeah.
In his scenes. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that
scene where Sookie's at the bar and she's confronted by Debbie. And it was so well done because as soon as Debbie said, well, who the heff are you?
Yeah.
Then Alcide was just right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he must have some speed too.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they're quick.
He was right there anyway. No, they had went separate ways.
Right.
So he was just right there, you know, saying she with me.
I mean, Debbie was mad because there was another girl there getting attention she wasn't.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why she walked up to her.
You can kind of see her in the background while Sookie is drinking.
Exactly. And then she said, oh, no, you didn't say that at my party.
At my party.
Oh, that was, yeah... That was good. I like the way they showed Cooter changing to the alpha wolf. I thought that was very well done, too.
I didn't. It was too animation-y for me.
I thought it was well done. I mean, because how else are they going to do it?
I don't know, but I didn't like that. And then that little fake wolf going, oh.
That was a fake wolf.
That was so.
But the wolf getting up there wasn't.
That whole sequence was just kind of hokey.
Well, what I thought was hokey was all the glasses breaking and stuff as they were changing. And Sookie was saying, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
I thought, well, why is all this damn glass breaking?
Because they're dropping their cups. Shot glasses.
Well, see, okay. Because, see, I guess I didn't remember that they just still had those shot glasses in their hand.
Yeah.
I figured they...
They're just throwing all their cups down so they can change.
Yeah, okay.
But still,
Yeah.
We got some email about that scene, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, I really, really like this. And I like what they're doing with Sam.
Oh, yeah. We didn't
talk
about
Sam. And I like
what
they're doing with Tommy because it seemed to me that when Sam, when Tommy first comes out of that clearing, Joe Lee was going to hit him. And then he saw Sam. And did you see him back up?
Yeah. Because Joe Lee is human, and they ain't. So I think he's got a little fear of
him. Yeah. See, that's what I thought, too, because he just kind of backed up, you know? But when Sam said, okay, this is what we're going to do, you know, I like that they're making him, he's a soft-hearted and stuff, but you know, Sam ain't no pushover.
No.
He's just not going to let nobody punk him or nothing. No. But when he was telling them, this is what we're going to do, and this how it's going to be, long as y'all quit stealing and quit drinking, I think Tommy is kind of getting some respect for him.
Yeah, because he stands up to the to the Mickens.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, even though that's his family, he still likes that.
So that's going to be
And just like we know, you know, kids respect.
Yep.
Even though they don't
when you discipline tell them,
they don't tell you that. Mm-hmm. But when you discipline them, I think they respect the parents more for that than when you don't.
Than just letting them, you know, do whatever they
crazy
want.
Crazy and wild.
And I also liked what they're doing with Jessica. I like the fact that she's going to be the hostess at Merlot's.
At Merlot's.
I like that. And, you know, I thought Arlene's comments and her reactions were perfect. Because Sookie already told Sam, ooh, Arlene's going to have a fit if you ask Jessica to come up in here. But I thought it was very good how they tied it to the red hair. She said, you know, redheads get the most tips. And she's not getting none of my tips. Mm-hmm. That's what she's worried about, you know.
Well, and I also like the scene when Arlene was talking about everybody who works here either dies, never comes in, half-ass works.
The tarragon. Lafayette gone. He's doing the business.
Well, he goes to work, though, because he did
last
time.
Wasn't there then.
No, he might have been off that day, because obviously, because Terry was cooking.
Yeah, Terry was cooking.
So, that was...
So, I bet you Tommy going to be up in there.
He gonna put their ass to work. All of them gonna be put to work. Because what else can Sam do? Now, Sam does own those housing properties.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he could probably put them up there. Mm-hmm. They gonna have to work.
Yeah. He's gonna want them to work or do something.
Put their asses to work.
Mm-hmm. But I wanna see, okay, when we gonna see what the mama chipped into?
I know. Because she awful accommodating now.
Mm-hmm. Because they scared of her.
They scared of mama.
So what is she shipped into? You know? So, that's going to be interesting.
That is.
That'll be interesting to see.
I like the lady
sorry for Hoyt, though.
I like the lady that's playing the mama, Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something about her is
cute. It's cute.
Yeah. The way she talks.
But if you watch her... She gives them shady looks. She got some.
Yeah.
She got some shit brewing up underneath.
Like, okay, now y'all better act right.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But she has something there that of course information that Sam needs that she's not telling, because when he said this is how it's gonna be, blah blah, can you do that? And she's looking.
She looks at Jolie.
Yeah. She says.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Jolie.
He said, yeah, I can do that. You know that food's not going to stop drinking.
No, as much as his ass be drinking.
At least, maybe he'll quit running around in his daggum panties. I think the guys call it briefs. You know, I mean,
tidy whities.
No, they weren't white.
Mm-mm. Well, they were dingy, droopy.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week. Well, let's get into some email, because we've had a lot of good comments.
Okay, good.
This one. Okay, our first one is from Tina.
Hey, Tina.
And she titles it, "It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp." Sisters, what the heck was Bill smoking on? Do you really call my girl Sookie on the phone and tell her you just made love to Lorena? Reminds me of an episode of Sex in the City when this guy broke up with Kara via a Post-it. That was a punk move, Bill. I know you thought you were being noble, but that was weak. I felt a vein pop up in my neck when Lorena spoke so Sookie could hear her.
I know!
I mean, how do you dump a woman you propose to in front of the woman?
Mm-hmm.
Shaking my head. Now, sisters, what do you think would have happened if Sookie was a sister?
Oh, please.
And Lorena, have some respect for yourself. Go read an issue of Essence or Cosmo. A man twisting your neck around and doing it to you like a porn star is not hot. Ooh, Tina is breaking it down. Now to Tara. Are you slow? Didn't you see the crazy in Franklin's eyes? But then again, sometimes you can't help falling in love with serial killers, vampires, etc. I mean, in the words of Arlene, who hasn't?
Oh, Lord.
The sex can't be that good. But then again, he did have her eyes rolling in the back of her head.
Oh, I hate that scene.
And Franklin really likes her.
Yeah, he did.
Now, wait. That scene didn't bother me, but you know what bothered me with the scene with her eyes fluttering?
Mm.
The eyelashes.
Yeah.
I think they have fake eyelashes on her.
Yeah, they do.
And they're miscolored or something.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the eyelashes annoyed me.
Mm.
The fluttering of the
that
eyelashes.
That whole fluttering shit annoyed me. You know?
They're trying to say he was putting it to us.
Well, yeah, but still. Come on now.
Ugh. Okay, she goes on to say, aw, baby Jessica has a job. And people love redheads, right? And look at her enchanting someone like a pro. Aw, how quaint.
Uh-huh.
Glamorin.
Yeah.
Okay, and then she goes on to say, so, we doing communion now. Oh boy, the wolves are crazy. And Sookie may not be as gangsta as I thought. She didn't have enough sense to notice the howling and subtle shifting. Can't she read minds? Run, Forrest, run. Anyway, sisters, this week was doing too much for my spirit. It really was. Well, that is all I have for this week, sisters. The episodes are getting crazy. Marianne has left us, but the insanity has not. Tina.
Oh, Tina, that's a great email. That's a funny.
That is great.
Oh, Lord, that's a good one.
She's right. How come Sookie couldn't say, or why did Sookie have to ask, what's going on?
Yeah.
She couldn't tell.
She knew what was going on.
Although, we'll say in the books, and they've said it on the show, that shifters' minds aren't as clear to her
exactly.
as others' minds, but still.
Right.
But still, she seemed to be hearing pretty good when she needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got another email from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
On this episode, he says, hi, ladies. I hope this email finds you in good health. I've got a lot to say, so let me begin.
Oh, Lord.
He says, oh, hell no. Franklin done kidnapped Tara. Now, I know I said I was done with her, but that ain't right. Franklin done tied her up to the toilet all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was human, he was the kind of guy who went out on a date with a woman and assumed they were in a relationship. The unfortunate part for Tara is he's a vampire, a kidnapping vampire.
Yeah.
I'm sure none of Franklin's former relationships ever ended amicably. Mm-hmm. What could Tara have done to stave off Franklin's advances? How do you go about filing a restraining order against a vampire? How is it enforced?
Mm-hmm.
Vampires are off the hook this season. I mean, you have vampires snatching exotic dancers and killing them and shit. Listen, I have accepted the absurdity of vampires mainstreaming. What choice did humans really have? But they can't just chomp on people who don't want to be chomped on and think there won't be any vampire hunter-killer repercussions like the Fellowship of the Sun, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a stripper on a milk carton before, so an exotic dancer will not be missed, I suppose.
That's the whole point, yeah.
If vampires want their civil rights to be a part of society legitimately, then they need to be policed somehow. Having a vampire sheriff hasn't meant jack thus far. You don't have Eric working in partnership with Bernard Parish Police to investigate vampire-related crimes. There needs to be a task force or special vampires unit or something to curtail some of the vampire lawlessness. I will... Okay, so let me stop there. I will say, in the books, they do talk about there are vampire police on the police force, the regular police force. So it's not like a separate police force, but they do have... Mm-hmm. supernatural people on the police force. So when there is an issue with a vampire or a vampire's wanted for murder, that they have to call in a vampire police officer.
Okay. But this Bon Ton is a small little place.
Right.
They got two policemen.
Deputies. Well, three.
No, they have the sheriff and two deputies.
Well, they have that other dude. That we never
seen. Oh, yeah, that little young dude.
Yeah.
He must be new. But anyway.
His name.
But anyway, I mean, but it's a very small police force, so that doesn't bother me at all.
Well, it does because they can't have, they will have to address this eventually because they can't have just random, I mean, they can't have people disappearing all the time.
Yeah, they can't. And I tell you why. And that's because every single day in the real world, there are thousands of people that come up missing every single day.
Exactly.
And that is why Bill goes to procure. He finds somebody who doesn't have any family that cares about them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's just like a serial killer would
do. Exactly.
But I will say they need to have
And
in the show, they need to address that issue because, believe it or not, because the vampires are coming out, they're being taxed. Mm-hmm. This is an issue that they should be talking about in the background on how are we going to tax these vampires and make them pay us. When they're vampires, they can glamour us, they can do this. They have to have a vampire law, let's say, mm-hmm. to help do that. And I think that's what that Nan Flanagan organization comes in.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
But they're going to have to figure out a way to address them always chomping folks.
Well, when I'm watching True Blood, all the stuff that's going on, I don't even think about that. I don't. So, okay. Well,
you don't think about it, but it's going to have to come up.
All right. Is this still the same email?
This is the same email. He says, "We are really seeing the dark side of Bill this season. I don't care for Lorena's character either, but how are the writers going to introduce us to the supposedly respectable southern gentleman who has just had head-turning sex with his maker and then turn around and punch her in the face to get her out of his room? I understand that at the end of the episode, Bill chose a woman who had the least to lose, which may be an indication to the viewers that he still retains a portion of his humanity, but doesn't it make more sense if Bill is trying to con Lorena and Russell that he should not have punched Lorena in the nose in the first place?"
No.
No, because no. Bill don't care at this point.
No.
He done lit her ass up.
And he's already told King Russell he wants her gone.
He wants her gone.
Which means dead.
D-E-A-D.
So, no. No. I don't agree. Okay.
He goes on to say that he's not warmed up to Sookie's adventure with Alcide yet.
Me either.
He says, "I suppose the whole damsel in distress storyline is wearing me out."
Yep.
It turns out that they go back to the wear bar so Sookie can help Alcide reunite with Debbie. Sookie needs to focus. Her finding out about Cooter was purely coincidental and not her motivation for wanting to go back to the club to begin with to find out more about Bill's whereabouts. He says, "Eric and Pam are loyal to the end. I liked it when she gave him the heads up about the raid mm-hmm. and was doubly moved when he came to her rescue. I maintain that Ivana found out about the V-juice in the bar and reported it to the Magister. How else would he have found out? Eric gave Pam all..."
Who? Read that sentence again. What?
He says that he maintains that Ivana...
Who's Ivana?
Ivetta... found out about the V-juice in the bar.
You mean the stripper?
Right.
The pole dancer.
He said in last email, he thinks that Ivetta is a plant from the Magister.
Oh, gotcha.
So he says he thinks that Ivetta found out about the V-juice in the bar and reported it to the Magister. How else would he have found out about it? Eric gave Pam all of the V to give to Lafayette to sell, so why would he have more of it in the club? The Queen had... Ivetta planet is my guess, and if that is the case, Ivetta will have to be dealt with. Actually, I think that King Russell called because Bill had.
I think King Russell did too.
Yeah, I think King Russell called the Magister before they went out to celebrate.
I think so because
that's what I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's the pole dancer, Ivetta. I don't think so,
but, you know, they are showing her a lot.
But I did wonder, where did all those huge vials come from? Because, you know...
That's what I said.
When they give it to Lafayette, it's in the little bitty bottles.
But when they open that cooler...
It was a big ass... It was so, like a test tube.
That's what I have been saying. I want to know... Where are they getting this V from?
Yeah.
Who... What vampire is supplying all this blood?
That bee. And that was a cool. And you're right. That was a cooler full.
A cooler full.
Mm-hmm.
Of big old vials.
Big vials.
So that tells me they got a vampire strung up somewhere.
Something.
Or several. Strung up somewhere.
Yeah. Huh.
Anyway. I'm looking forward to your analysis, sisters. Have a good week. A faithful and true Sister Speak fan, New Jersey boy. He says, "P.S. I don't like Big Brother. It's far too contrived for me, but if you're going to podcast it, then I will watch it."
We do podcast Big Brother, and we'll be doing one probably later on or tomorrow. But anyway, but back to your email. Thank you, Myron, for that really long email.
He's taking over from Mr. J.
I know. He's taking it over. But, yeah, thank you so much for
that
email.
Yes, thank you. And he had a lot of really good points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next email is from Bradley.
Hey, Bradley.
He says, "Hey, Sister J and K. Sister K, thanks for your reply and suggestions a few weeks ago. I went back and watched the previous seasons, and now I am reading the books. Lorena is starting to get on my last nerve with her desperate attempts to get Bill's attention. Mm-hmm. I think she needs to die. I don't know how Bill will do it since he tried to bash her head in with a TV, burn her up, break her neck, and yet she keeps coming back. She is a real masochist. I can't wait for one of Sam's family members to go batshit crazy, I think. I think the mom will be the one because they seem intimidated by her for some reason.
Yep.
I hope we get back to the storyline with Lafayette, his mom, and Jesus soon because it seems like something was going to happen between Lafayette and Jesus. Mm-hmm. I am loving the scenes between Eric and Lafayette. I loved it when Eric called the guys brother cousins and then turns around and calls Lafayette RuPaul. Oh, yeah. I liked how last week's podcast was split into chapters, and I was wondering if the upcoming podcasts were going to be the same. P.S. Let me stop there. We did do chapters last week, or I tried to put in a chapter so that people who wanted to skip ahead through the recap could skip, because I wasn't able to go back and add in how many minutes to skip ahead. Remember, we were talking about that last time?
I didn't know it was in chapters. Okay.
So, I thought I did it correctly, but I haven't gone back to check, so hopefully that worked for everybody.
Okay.
I just put like a break in there, so if you hit fast forward, it would go to the next section. So,
okay.
Anyway, he has a P.S. I started watching Big Brother just to hear the funny commentary you guys dish out. And Sister J, me and you are on the same wavelength about the people in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Bradley.
Thank you, Bradley. Well, hey, then you need to listen to our upcoming Big Brother podcast, because I'm going to give you some information that you probably don't know.
Oh,
anyway, but on your email, though, you know, I don't think Bill is going to be the one to kill Lorena at all. King Russell going to do that because Bill said, I want her gone. And the king agreed. They know you can't kill your maker. They know that.
Yeah, Bill isn't going to be the one to do it.
No, so King Russell's going to be taking care of Lorena.
That's why he told the king he wants it done, because he knows he can do it.
Exactly, because you cannot kill your maker. Right. So, okay. So,
yeah, but
well, thank you
she
for
does
that email.
Need to go.
Yeah, she does.
She does need to go. Okay, our next email is from Barb, and she says, I just have three words to start. Lafayette, Pam, and Eric. If they were the only three in the show, I would still love it.
Me too.
Eric and Pam were awesome. Their connection was palpable. And Lafayette in his new car, smooth, smooth, smooth. Loved how Eric whooshed in to save him.
Yep.
Franklin's power over Tara, poor Tara, was terrifying. Mm-hmm. The way word for word he controlled her phone call was just creepy. Mm-hmm. That actor is great in an uber creepy role.
Yep.
Here is hoping Sookie puts two and two together from the Wear Club and calls Eric to say, German vamp feeding wares equals Nazi vampire. Come and get him.
Mm-hmm.
I am seeing Lorena going down for the blood charges by the Magister, and that will hopefully be the end of her.
Oh!
Ooh, that's a good idea.
I didn't think of that!
How do we do
that? Maybe they're going to set it up so Lorena's doing it? I don't think so.
Well, they already are setting Bill up to be the fall.
Right. And she's his maker. So maybe they're going to say I don't she know. Made him.
See, and I don't
ooh,
know.
I don't know.
I don't know how Eric is going to be able to yeah. say that Bill is the one that's
but
doing
that's
it.
But that's very good.
Unless, see, this, okay, this brings up a good point.
That's a good point.
Hmm. Hold on. Let's go, let's read the rest of it and then we can talk. He says, she says, I'm seeing Lorena going down for the blood charges by the Magister, and that will hopefully be the end of her, and possibly Russell. It is all quite different from the books, but ultimately, we seem to get to the same destination, which keeps us book nuts guessing, too. Can't wait to see next episode. Bye for now, Barb.
Well, thank you for that email, Barb. Okay.
Okay, so that brings up a good...
Since I haven't read the books, then I can't speak to that, you know, whatever's in the
books. Well, it brings up a
books,
good discussion...
But...
They're trying, or at least Pam threw out Bill's name as the one who's doing it.
Yes.
Now, you know, Bill has no role in that area at all. He's not a sheriff. He works for the queen, yes, mm-hmm. which we, so obviously Eric knows that.
Yes.
And Pam too. And so I guess that's the only way I can think that they're going to be able to say Bill's the one who is selling the V.
Hmm.
Or Bill was the one behind it.
Could be.
And Eric's flying off. What is he flying off to do? To go get Bill? To go get proof? How is he going to do that? You know, we don't know.
I think
all the magic said is you got 48 hours.
He said 2 days.
Or 2 days.
I don't know. I just assumed Bill was flying to Mississippi. Eric was flying to Mississippi. Because when Bill hesitated, when Sookie was running out that lupines, I'm sure Eric felt it too.
True. See, that's a good
so
point.
So he knows where she's at. So that's what I assumed.
That's a good point.
Now, I guess we'll find out, you know, the next episode. But I just assumed that's where he was flying off to.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I just want to wait and see how.
Because he knows the wares are in Jackson.
Yeah.
Because he killed that werewolf.
Yep.
And he says, so he, you know, Jackson is a place. It's not his name.
And I'm sure he's in contact with Alcide.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so.
Absolutely. So.
But I mean, I'm just wondering what kind of evidence he's going to be able to get to prove that they weren't the ones that were selling it.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. In how they work that out.
That's going to be interesting.
And put it on Bill. Mm-hmm. And Bill, of course, is going to be like, I don't know what the hell y'all talking about.
Well, now, we didn't talk about the previews at all. Like, previews for the next episode. But that is going to be something.
What about the previews that
well,
you say?
Well, one thing, Tara's running in a wedding dress, being chased by a big-ass dog.
Well, okay, yeah. So we see
And Franklin done told her, are you my bride?
He says, let's celebrate your last night because
exactly
before you die or before your human life ends.
So he gonna chomp her up.
But was a werewolf chasing her ass?
See, I couldn't tell. It didn't look like a wolf to me. It looked like a pit. Looked like a big-ass pit.
It looked like a wolf.
Oh, okay. Well, hey.
And if they're at the king's house and she tries to run and it was daytime,
a wolf could get her.
Right, because he probably has those wolves guarding the place while they're all asleep.
Yeah, good thinking. That's it. That's it.
That has to be it.
Yeah, that has to be it.
Somehow she gets away while they're all asleep.
Mm-hmm. That has to be it. Yep.
That has to be
those
it.
Those werewolves. Yeah, because they're there all the time. And then we also see just a little glimpse of what happens when Bill and King Russell make it back to the mansion. Because Tara's saying, Bill, aren't you going to help me? And he said, mm-mm.
Well, but I guess that scene goes together. Because I was thinking maybe those scenes are two separate things. And they're just kind of.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Nope. Because when
he helps get her untied.
Could be.
Before he goes to bed for the day. And that's how she gets away.
I don't know. But that's going to be interesting.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be interesting. And then.
Because despite the fact that Bill's an ass, and we know he's shady because he's got a file on Sookie and all this shit, we do know that he loves her.
Right.
We do know he didn't want to break up with her. He didn't want to say all that shit.
Of course.
And we know that he still cared. But, you know, despite the fact that he's shady and shit, he doesn't want to chomp people all the time. He doesn't want to kill up folks. And so he does have a little bitty spark of something still left in there.
Well, and also, Bill is demanding from someone where Sookie, and we see this hooded
character creature. We don't know
We don't know if it's a human being or another creature or what. So, and then there's also a little snippet of a scene where I believe it is Sam is opening a door and there's something there, something big. So, you know. And then we see Jason throwing paper. He's in a blue cop shirt, and he's throwing papers around, talking about, I'm not doing this. So they must have him doing paperwork.
Yeah, or trying to learn something.
Yeah. Ooh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
And
but poor Tara, though. Yeah.
Yeah, we need more. And we also saw Lafayette and Jesus.
That, true.
But Lafayette saying something about, don't sugarcoat it, tell me how she died.
Yeah, so we know.
Well, maybe. Maybe he's thinking that's why he's there.
Well, now, true.
And maybe, because I don't see
I hope they don't get rid of her.
I can't see them having Alfre Woodard in a 2-minute scene.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
No, she can't be dead yet.
Let's hope not.
No. They can't do that.
Okay.
So, anyway, that was a great episode, and y'all were great with all your emails and comments.
You guys are really, really thinking deep.
Deep.
Y'all have some really good comments and some really good
different
food for
ways
thought.
Of thinking about it that I never think about. Mm-hmm. So, thank y'all for that. If anyone else would like to send us an email, you can do so at sistaspeak@gmail.com. Our voicemail line is 972-692-7341. Or for those of y'all lucky people with nifty difty iPhones, you could do a voice recording and just email it to us.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Our website is sistersinterview.com, and we are both on
Twitter.
Underscore Sister J and underscore Sister K, and we are also on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook.com/SisterSpeak.
Okay.
All right, that's it for this week. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.